Hope everybody's doing well today, and the Lord is blessing you this morning beyond anything that we could ever imagine. It's a beautiful day. Amen?
Amen?
Good to see each and every one of you. Hey, give everybody the COVID greeting. Look around and just wave. We're not saying pass that around. If you are part of our online audience this morning, be sure to say a hearty good morning to Dr. Cazito, who we really appreciate. Who takes the time, and he's there with you. If you are part of our online audience, you've got somebody there to talk to interact with. If you have any needs whatsoever, you let Dr. Cazito know. He'll let us know. He'll get you taken care of, and we really appreciate all that he does to interact with those that are part of our live and online audience throughout the week. So we are glad that you are here today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful for this chance once again just to come into your house. And Lord, we know that that as different as things have been throughout this pandemic, you have taught us not to take for granted the things that are just so important to us. Lord, such as being able to get together, to gather around your word, to be a part of the family of God that we call Central Baptist Church here. But Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to come together. Help us never to take those opportunities for granted. Help us today to make sure that we concentrate upon you, Lord, that we sense the movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. In such a fashion that we definitely connect with you today. Lord, where changes need to be made, we pray that you will give us strength and courage to do so. And Father, as always, we pray if there is one who does not know you, that today truly would be the day that they would give their life to you and begin a new life that will last throughout all of eternity. So Lord, bless our time. Lord, our time is your time, and we know that you are here. Help us to be attentive to the Spirit as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, and welcome to any guests. I had a chance to speak with Millie today, so welcome to Millie back there and anybody else today. I invite you to stand with us as we sing carols. We'll stand for the first hymn, if you're able. Thank you. Oh, come all ye faithful.
Amen.
be seated. Just a reminder as we turn to those who want to turn to 100, just a reminder on the evening of the 19th at 6 p.m. we'll be having our evening of Christmas music. Some of you may have seen that in the Northwest Observer that came out this week, and thank you for that, Annette. Okay. She's going to be singing for us this morning. Be blessed by her message and song.
Though it seems the road is long, we're only love that lasts. And though 2,000 years have passed, we're not that far from Bethlehem, where all our hope and joy began.
Thank you, Tammy. Today, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 2. That's part of what we're going to be looking at today, is that we're not that far from Bethlehem. It's ironic that when we look at the Scriptures and we see the passages that are dealing particularly with the Christmas story, there's a lot of things that we can learn. I think one of the big things that we learn in the Christmas story is the old expression that most of us have probably heard before. How many of y'all have ever heard the expression, knowledge is power? All right, yeah, you've heard that. You know, I grew up with Schoolhouse Rock on Saturday morning. That's how I learned the preamble and of the United States and times tables and all these wonderful things. And the interesting part of it was that was what they would always say. They would say, knowledge is power. Now, I want to say that is true with a caveat. You know what the caveat is? Knowledge is power only if you apply the knowledge that you have. It doesn't do any good to just have all of this knowledge and never make application of it. Would you agree? I mean, what good does it be to have the knowledge to be a brain surgeon if there's never any brain surgery done? What good does it be, or what good is it if you are a mechanic and you never ever turn a wrench to fix an engine? So knowledge is not necessarily power in that regard. Now, today we want to look at the wise men, or the magi of the Christmas story. Now, we know that they're called wise men for a reason. Why is that? Because they were wise. The question is, were they applying their knowledge? Now, I also want you to understand something about these incredibly wise men. One of the things with them is they were not afraid to fail. Now, some of us in here, and I won't ask for a Roy poll on this one, but some of us in here are afraid to try something and fail. Some of you know family members that are afraid to try something and fail. It could be you that you sit back and say, I'd rather not try that because I'm not gonna do good at it, or I'm gonna fail at it. Or you might give it a try once, 40 years ago, and then said, I tried that once before, not gonna do it again. Folks, those that are successful have failed more often than they've succeeded, and that's something that you need to understand. So what does that have to do with the Magi? Let's get a look at their story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we simply ask and pray that you would speak to our hearts during these moments. Lord, your word is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And today, as we have come into your house, I pray that we will not let the familiarity of the Christmas story or the familiarity of these particular passages lull us into a sense of not hearing what your Spirit has to say to us today. Lord, help us to evaluate your word and what the Spirit is telling each and every one of us these very moments. And then, Lord, as always, give us courage to react on what you've shown us. Father, as your messenger for these moments, I pray that you would truly indeed bless me in such a fashion that your word would go forth in a manner that will touch hearts and lives of each and every hearer. And Lord, we just dedicate this time to you. We honor you and we worship you today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, a lot of us, like I say, are so familiar with this story. We know what was taking place. We know what was going on. These were the guys that were considered to be wise men. Not only were they wise men, I'm sure they were probably men who were respected within their region. They were men who had means. They had education. They were considered to be wealthy based on what history tells us from the scriptures that we know. I've often said that some of the hardest people to reach in the world are those who are extremely intellectual. And why is that? Because an intellectual really has a problem wrapping their mind around the objectivity of faith. Faith, remember what faith is. Faith is believing in something even when we can't see it. The technical definition, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And people have a hard time saying, well, if I can't see it, I have a hard time believing it. If I can't, you know, put my hands on it, if it doesn't make sense, if it's not listed in the periodical table, blah, 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 all these things that go on, people have trouble with that. They're like, man, you know what? This has never happened before, and it's never happened since. Why should I believe it happened then? It requires faith. Now, I will say this. I've known many of an extremely intelligent person who hadn't come to Jesus yet, but yet they still could not dismiss in their mind, or should I rather say their heart, what the Holy Spirit was leading them and that nagging. So therefore, what would happen with them is they would work to determine the truth of the situation. They would seek to find whether or not there was validity to the story of Jesus. Now, I can tell you, I know many, many a skeptic that set out to prove Jesus wrong who turned out turning their life over to Jesus because it made sense. It made sense when the Holy Spirit got into their heart, when the Holy Spirit convicted them. And I believe this is true of the Magi. I believe that as history tells us that the Magi were present around the time of the days of Daniel. We know Daniel had a lot of prophetic insight, and they had heard what Daniel was saying, and they had studied. Many believe them to be scientific astronomers based on the passages that we read. But these were educated men. These were the cream of the crop. These were the ones that people would listen to. So all of a sudden, and we call it three. We don't know that it was three, but three works out well for the Christmas play, doesn't it? Yeah, three wise men. We write songs about it. We don't know how many there were. All we know, and the reason we get three, is because there were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's the reason why we figure and guess that there was three of them. Okay, there might have been more, but these were smart men. Well, you know what smart men do? Smart men want to get to the bottom of a circumstance or a situation that could potentially be true that they don't know whether it's true or not. So these were studying men. They had probably studied the scriptures. They had probably studied what Daniel was saying. They had probably kicked it around among themselves and said, you know what, there could be some validity to this. Yeah, for centuries they've been talking about a coming Messiah. Yeah, could this be the Messiah that's been prophesied from the days of old? I like that old expression. Inquiring minds want to know. These men wanted to know. Now, here was the interesting part. The interesting part is, as smart as they were, they could not lay this story out. All they knew was that there would be a king, a newborn king, that would be born. Now, here's something I want to caution each and every one of us in doing that the wise men actually did. We've got to be extremely careful that we don't let the norm drive what we do. There's nothing much normal. Now, some of y'all are sitting there going, well, that's not a problem. There's nothing normal compared to what it was pre-COVID. But see, what happens is, normality puts us in a rut. It makes us begin to think like we always think. It lets us go on cruise control. Now, I'll point out why that happened with these wise men. Of course, many people would say it wasn't just that, but rather it was logic that they used. So if I were to say to you, and I'm going to make it a modern day example and a modern day illustration, if I were to say to you, we're going to have a new president, we're going to go see the president, where would we go? Where would you go? I mean, just think about it for a minute. If I were to say, we're going to load up and go see the president, what would be our destination? Washington, D.C. Don't y'all get political on me now. Stay spiritual. Regardless of the president, you know where the president lives and the president works, right? So if I were to say, we're going to load up and we are going to see the president, and I never told you, you know, the destination of where we were going, you would run home, pack a bag, and guess what you would do? You would tell your family, I am going to Washington, D.C. You would automatically make that assumption because that is where the president is, right? That's where the president functions, correct? Yeah, I believe that the Magi... I better get to point two real quick. You would know that that's where we were going. Now, what happened was, all of a sudden, the Magi said, there's going to be a newborn king based on the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets in the days of old. And this is supposedly what's going to be taking place and supposedly what's going to happen. So if there's going to be a new king, guess where we need to go to see him? To the palace. The king's palace. Yeah, you know, I don't sit there and think that they even thought really twice about where they were going to go to see the newborn king. They just went on cruise control and said, if we're going to go see the king, that's where we go. So they loaded up And they are on their way. Having a knowledge that there would be a coming Messiah, having a knowledge that there was something unique in the stars, something unique in the atmosphere, connecting that together and saying, this must be the newborn king. But they didn't set their course nor their destination towards a barn in Bethlehem. They set their course and destination based on what they knew in the present, based on what they felt like was gonna happen, because that's where a king would be. You go to the castle or the palace to find the king. So they begin to make their journey. Now, I'll often ask this question when it comes down to them. How did they get off track? That's how they got off track to start with. I could ask the same thing of you and I today. How do we get off track? I know that everyone in here, if you are a human being and you are breathing air today, not just in your spiritual life, but in many other things before, you set out on a journey, you had the thought, you had an idea, and then all of a sudden you sit back and said, how did we get where we are today? How did we wind up in this place? How did we, how did the wheels come off of it to this particular point? Many today will feel just like these magi. You started off with God and then you got off track. Some of you are sitting back going, well, that's been a repetitive thing in my spiritual life. Well, don't feel alone. Every one of us have been there. You start off on the journey, things are going really, really well, and then you get distracted. Satan distracts you by so many different things. And then all of a sudden, when you look up, it's like, how did I get here? How did I get to this point and this place in my life? What is going on? What is taking place? You see, the Magi got off track. And some would say, well, they didn't really get off track because they really didn't know what they were doing or where they were going to start with. And there's elements of truth in that as well. But they went where they thought they would find the king, which is to the palace. How many times are we functioning in our will and our way, doing things our way, as opposed to what God wants? So these magi take off heading in the direction. They had the right heart and the best of intention, didn't they? They even had the right thought. We need to go see the newborn king. But then went the wrong way. They headed in the wrong direction. They began to follow their feelings instead of following the Savior. In many ways, we do that same thing today. It's all about what we want. Well, Lord, I don't like this. Lord, I don't want to do it that way. This is going to be more advantageous for me. Lord, I don't want any part of that. And listen, I've actually had people tell me that before. They're like, I'm going to follow the Lord, but my hypocrisy only goes so far. They're like, I'll follow him so far, but I'm not doing that. You can't do that. You're either all in or you are all out. That's the way it works. So these poor magi, when we're looking at it, looking back through the centuries, they don't seem so smart at that point. Yeah, so they head down to the castle. And then when they get there, we know that they have this conversation with Herod. They walk up to the door, knock on the door, and say, we're here to see the newborn king. Now, let me ask this. Is there anybody named Charlie in here today? Okay, then I can use this. So you go up, somebody comes up to the door and they knock on your door, ring your doorbell, and they say, I'm looking for Charlie. What are you going to say? I know Charlie lives here. You've got the wrong house. No, Charlie's living here. Yeah, you're in the wrong place. Well, these guys, the doorkeeper at the palace didn't say, you've got the wrong place. Maybe they didn't even approach him, but they approached somebody and said, we are here to see the newborn king. Herod's got a problem with this. You know what Herod's problem with it is? Herod's the king. Kings in the Old Testament had ways of making sure they didn't have competition. You know what I'm saying? That's what they would do. They would take them out. But yet Herod was pretty shrewd himself. Herod didn't just sit back and put his hands on his hips and say, what are you talking about? Tell me what's going on. I am the king. He didn't do all that. No. He played it really, really coy, didn't he? He said, hold on a minute. serve those wise men something to drink. Tell them I'll be with them shortly. So what he does is he defers to find out where the newborn Savior is. The Magi didn't do that. So all of a sudden he gets his wise men together. And I love this part of this passage. As you go through this and each Christmas as you see this thing, here's something that you need to remember. Herod's wise men had all the right answers. They had all of the head knowledge. Because when Herod went to them and called them together and said, where is this newborn king supposed to be born? They told him, in Bethlehem, 7 miles down the road, that's where he's to be born. Now all of a sudden, somebody who doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus and those who have nothing to do with him, don't want to have anything to do with him, are more knowledgeable than those who are seeking him. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, I've often wondered, if this was the case, if they were really, if Herod's wise men were really as wise as they appeared to be, I think at that particular point, if somebody was down there, after the conversation with Herod, I'd have got together with the rest of the fellows and said, could this be true? Bethlehem's only 7 miles down the road. Why don't we go see ourselves? Why don't we go look? Why don't we check to see if there's any validity to this centuries-old Messiah prophesying of a Messiah to come? Could it be? Could it be? They didn't even think that. You know what they did? They went and told Herod, yeah, he's supposed to be born Bethlehem, 7 miles down the road. Okay, good. Can we go back to what we were doing? Can we get back to just... Now listen, they might have been afraid of him. They may have been afraid of their position. They may be afraid of loss. They may be afraid of a whole bunch of things. But here's the point I want to drive home. They had the answer to where the Messiah was. Tammy sang about it a minute ago. We're not that far from Bethlehem. Think about it for a minute. They were 7 miles from Bethlehem and never made it. How far today are we from Bethlehem? Where did the wheels come off? How did we get off track? Herod's wise men knew the location, but they didn't know the Lord. Herod's wise men knew the scriptures, but they did not find the Savior. See, they knew that Christ would rule one day, but wasn't going to rule them. How many times do we find ourselves in that circumstance and in that situation? You know, as the story unfolds, Herod finds out the actual data, actual information. And now all of a sudden he's going to plot to use the three wise men, that's what we'll call them, to his advantage. And he goes and he gives the real Magi, the wise men, the answer. He said, he is going to be born in Bethlehem, 7 miles down the road. But you know what? That's an interesting story you've been telling. How about when you find him, come back and let me know, because I want to go worship him as well. Now that all sounds good, doesn't it? I honestly believe that based on what we read in this scripture, that the wise men bought that. They're like, oh, okay, we'll let you know. Hey, that's something we can do. That's something we can do for the king. Once we find him, we'll come back and let him know. All right, king, good job, good man. So they leave and they go on their journey. Now, there's a couple of things I want us to knit together here based on the Christmas story. So bear with me. You'll notice in this particular passage when we get down to the latter part of the verses that we read today, if you'll look, just go all the way down to, go to verse 10. When they left, it says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The compass is reset. now they're following this star again, and it talks about how when they came to where the star, throughout the Christmas story, we will find that when they followed the star, people made it to where the young child lay, okay? Now, here's the tricky part. When we look at passage number 11, it says this, and I'm just going to hit the first part of it. Notice what it says. It says, and when they had come into the house, hold on a minute. Is there a problem with that in our modern day Christmas story? Wait a minute. There are other biblical passages that said when Jesus was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a, which is part of a barn, right? This doesn't say that, does it? This says, and when they had come into the house. Now, here's what we also need to understand. There was some, we don't know the length of their journey, but we've got a good idea. I'm going to give you that one here in just a minute as well. But here's what we know. We know that the real Magi had been on a journey for quite some time. And as Tammy sang about, it's not that far to Bethlehem. So what happens is by the time, and let me just bring it out for you, by the time the Magi or the wise men found Jesus, he was living in a house with Mary and Joseph. And how many of you know, y'all are good because y'all are good church people. How many of you know what the approximate time was? 2 years of age before the Magi found him. Now, a lot of people would say, wait a minute. How do you figure that? Okay, let me give you the scripture that brings all this together. See, if you will remember as the story goes on, it says that the Magi, they come into the house right there, verse 11. It says, go back verse 11. It says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had presented their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then verse 12, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now remember what I said a minute ago. I said, I believe that the Magi bought into what Herod told them at the palace. Oh, listen, you find him, come tell me I want to worship him. And they were like, oh, okay. I believe with all my heart that they had intention to go back and tell Herod where Jesus was when they found him. Why else would they be divinely warned in a dream not to do so? Makes sense, doesn't it? Sure does. So they're like, oh, okay, we better not go tell Herod. Let's just go on back home. Well, here's how the two-year thing fits in. All of a sudden, the wise men don't come back, and Herod gets mad. Herod's like, wait a minute, something's not right here. Remember when I said how Herod was shrewd? Herod had a conversation with him, because I'm sure it was kind of casual when they were at the palace, and they said, well, you know, we saw this, we've heard Daniel's teachings, we know that there's a prophesied Messiah. We saw this star, we saw this anomaly in the sky, and we've been following it to see if we can, you know, find where the young child is. Herod has the whole story from the legit wise men. So you know what he does? When they don't come back, when Herod's been fooled, Herod says something has to be done. There's only going to be one king, and that's me. I've got the throne right now. Now, remember what I said. If you read, and particularly in the days of the Old Testament, how did kings take care of potential adversaries? So, now Herod's got a problem, doesn't he? Herod doesn't know who Jesus is. Herod doesn't know where Jesus is. Do you think that stopped Herod? Oh, no. No. So you know what Herod did? Herod put out a decree in all of the land that all the male children, 2 years of age and under, be put to death. Why 2 years of age? If you read the scripture says this. It says that he ordered all the male children 2 years of age and under to be slaughtered based on the time that he had attained from the Magi of the appearance of the star. 2 years. That's where we get the two-year-old thing. That's where we get they found him in the house. Now, in contrast to that, the shepherds got there early. The shepherds got there quick. The announcement went out to the shepherds that was born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they said, let us go and see this thing that has taken place. They found him in the manger. They found him in the barn. They worshiped him right there. They were there immediately. And sometimes I say, Lord, how about letting me be more like a shepherd than a wise man? You know why? Because the angels just told the shepherds, hey, look, the Messiah is born. He's over there. But yet these smart magi had to roam around. They had to seek for it. They had to dig for it. They had to work for it. And sometimes the Lord looks at us as magi, doesn't he? And sometimes you go down the wrong path. Have you ever gone down the wrong path multiple times? Now, understand my heart. Not the same one. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I've been on the same one multiple times. But have you ever been looking for a location and you're like, well, it should be on this street. And you go down there and it's not on that street. And then you're like, well, it's got to be on the next one. And it's not. And you're just like driving around looking for a location. Is that as irritating to you as it is to me? I mean, I've actually had a GPS put me in a loop before. Yeah, turn left here. Turn left here, turn left here, and then you're just making a circle of left. I'm like, how do you get out of that? See, sometimes God leads us the way of the Magi. Now, remember what I said. I started off with the fact that this message is knowledge is power. But knowledge is only powerful if you make application to it. Imagine what it would have been like if Herod would have taken the knowledge of his wise men who had the correct answers and wouldn't have had a situation and an instance of jealousy. He had all the information. It was easy for him. But yet for the Magi who truly were seeking the Lord, it became a difficult journey. It became a time-staking journey. It took them a while. But yet they were dedicated to find the truth. How many of us are dedicated toward finding the truth? I mean, most of us would get gotten bored with the journey long before 2 years, wouldn't we? Most of us would have said, whoop, out of options, don't know where to go now. These wise, the true magi, the true wise men, no. They were going to search until they found the Messiah. You know why? Because to them, it was real to start with. And it was even more real when they found the Savior at the house and presented him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, throughout the years, we have always used that expression pertaining to the wise men and around Christmas time. We've always said, wise men still seek him. And there is truth to that. Now, I believe with all of my heart that we can come in and we can sit in a church pew Sunday in and Sunday out and have a whole lot of head knowledge but never make application to that in our lives. I think we can walk in and we can go through the motions. Listen, we can even read our Bible. We can even go through the motions of prayer. But listen, if it doesn't get from your head to your heart and it doesn't change you, then what you have become is a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. Has Jesus in you changed you? That doesn't mean we don't have issues. We all have issues, don't we? Last time I checked, every one of us and everyone watching, every one of us are sinners and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are required to forgive as we have been forgiven. And I don't know about you, but if I look at my own backyard, I got a whole lot of work to do in my own backyard before I start talking about somebody else's. If we spend our time cleaning up our own backyard, because Satan likes to throw trash over the fence, don't he? Time you get it cleaned up. You've seen it before. You've been that mama that's mopped the floor, and then your kids came in after playing in the biggest mud hole in the neighborhood. And it usually happens right after that, doesn't it? It doesn't happen when it's filthy dirty and before you're going to clean it. It always happens right after you've cleaned it. Knowledge is power, but it's got to be applied. Are we truly living in the fashion that Christ would have us to live? In our own personal lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our church? Are we living in the fashion that reflects the Savior? Or are we sitting there going, how did we get here? Oh, every one of us have the how did we get here moments, don't we? Sometimes it's like, whoa. See, I'm that guy that if I'm going the wrong direction, I might not ask directions, but let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop going in the wrong direction until I can figure out what the right direction is. I will pull over. I might not walk into the convenience store and ask for directions, but I'll get her worked out sitting in the parking lot. I'm not going to keep going in the wrong direction. Are we going in the wrong direction? Wise men do still seek him. And oh, you know what else we find out this morning? We're not that far from Bethlehem. It's only a touch away. Will we get there? Will we trust Christ? Will we allow him to not just give us head knowledge, but for it to trickle down so that we have heart knowledge, that we will trust and love in the manner in which Christ would have us to trust and love? Upon finding the Christ, it says the Magi worshiped him, presented him those gifts, and wise men still worship Christ. And not only do they worship, they give their best to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That was a big thing. Are we worshiping him? Are we giving him our very, very best? If not, let me give you some encouragement this morning. We're not that far from Bethlehem. It is time for the head knowledge to become the heart knowledge. Will you allow that during this Christmas season, during this time of Christmas? Maybe today it's that circumstance and that situation of today. The Lord has said, hey, how do we get here? Well, why am I here? Yeah, well, you know how they got back? They followed the Scripture. There's your roadmap. If you're in that position today, if you are that person who sits back and says, I have wandered back, I don't even know where I am. You know what the Lord says? Right here's your map. It's not that far to Bethlehem. Here's your map. Get into the Scripture. Find out the way home. Simple. Somebody said one time, they said, yeah, they were talking about this game where they take you out and they drop you in the middle of nowhere and they see if you can find your way back. And people said, well, what would you do first in that particular circumstance or situation? I said, well, the first thing I'd do is I'd find somebody and ask them where I am. Say, can you tell me what state I'm in, what town I'm in? And this was really funny because the person said, well, why would you do that? And I said, you've got to know where you are before you can get where you need to be. Right? Today, the Holy Spirit's letting you know where you are so you can get to where you need to be. The destination. Let it trickle from your head to your heart. Have you trusted Christ? I'm going to ask our musicians to take their place for our invitation. Has there been that time in your life when you have truly surrendered your life? Most of us don't really understand the concept of surrender, because surrender means you give it all. Surrender means, when we think about that, we think about a wartime scenario. You know, one of the things that was so poignant to me, and I bring it up every chance I get, was back during the Gulf War, when it first started being broken, that things were over and the enemy was surrendering. You know, you didn't see those guys jumping around and all this kind of thing. You saw them with their hands on top of their head being marched up these sand dunes and everything else. Tears were coming out of their eyes. And you know why? Because they didn't know what was going to happen next. The enemy soldiers, they had no idea what was in store for them. Surrender meant they gave up everything. All that they were. Have we done that for Christ? Have we truly surrendered to Him? See, that's what salvation's about. It's not about church attendance. It's not about doing all the good or right things, because we can't do that. It's about being forgiven. It's about trusting Christ. Have you done that? Listen, if not, right where you are at this point, just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I today realize I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive my sin, to come into my life and save my soul. And I'm asking in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know what? He's done that. If you did that, I can promise you He's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that's not the end all be all. The Lord says, now that you're mine, I expect you to walk like my child. I expect you to grow in grace and in faith. I expect you to disciple yourself and to be discipled, to grow in who I am. See, salvation and trust in Christ is just the beginning of a great story. Maybe today you have found yourself out in the middle of nowhere on your journey, and you're like, how did we get here? You know what the Lord says? It's time to come home. How do I come home, Lord? It's right here. Let this come to here. And I promise you'll be on the right track. And like the prodigal son, the master is waiting for you. He's not going to hire you back as a servant. He's going to take you back as a son or a daughter. And he anxiously awaits that moment. Will you come back to him? If that's you, just simply say, Lord, today I realize I am completely off track. You have convicted my heart. Lord, help me to come back to you this very day. And Lord, I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, if you've done that, you've started the journey. You've taken the first step. And the first step's always the hardest one, isn't it? And you'll get back one step at a time. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. You might have to swing by the palace before you make it to the house or to the manger. You might have to go on a 40-year journey like Israel did to get to the promised land. But are you on the journey? Are you making progress? Listen, as we have our time of invitation, you do business with God. If you need me, I am here. If you are out there as part of our online audience and you've made a decision for Christ in some way, let Doc Cazito know. We want to be able to celebrate with you, because he's going to let me know. If you've trusted Christ, we want to help get you on the path to discipleship. We're not going to harass you, mess with you, make you feel bad. You know, we're not going to, you know, get you out of robe and have you dance around and all that stuff. We just want to help you, you know, on the path to spiritual success. Would you do that today? If you're here, respond to the Lord's invitation. If you're part of our online audience, please respond to Dr. Cazito today, saying, look, you know, the Lord has done some things in my heart, whatever it may be, as we stand and as we sing.
There's light for a look at the Savior.
Amen. Let me let you be seated for just a moment. I got somebody who I want to introduce to you who doesn't really need any introduction whatsoever. A lot of you all have known Shirley. She has been around with us for many years. Her smiling face will greet you as you come through the door, just like that. See right there, right on cue, Shirley. Good job. But today, Shirley comes requesting membership in Central Baptist Church. Shirley has trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of her life, and she has followed in believer's baptism by immersion. So do I hear a motion that she be received?
Approved.
Is there a second?
Second?
All those who rejoice in her coming signify with a hearty amen.
Amen.
And we don't just shake hands around here. I'll give you a hug as long as you're not afraid to hug me.
Oh, I'm not.
There we go. All right. Well, what I want to do here in just a minute is take an opportunity to give you an opportunity to greet Shirley and then Karen, who has done a great job in looking after her through this surgery. Friends like that don't hang around long. That's for sure. You don't see a lot of them, but we really appreciate that opportunity. What I'm gonna do is Shirley, I'll tell you what. If you and Karen, if y'all want to walk to the back there, we got one more thing we got to do. Baptist got to take up the offering, but we want to give folks an opportunity to greet you. So if you guys want to walk on back there to the door and be sure to greet Shirley on your way out, okay? All right, just walk on back here, darling. And I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. All right. Hey, God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Let's pray. Father, you are so diligent to bless us in many, many ways that we can't even imagine. Father, for our daily bread, you have taken care of us and far beyond anything we could ever imagine. Lord, as we come to this time to give back to you that portion that you have given to us, help us to be faithful in doing so that we might be blessed and that we might be blessed in an abundant way through our giving. Lord, we recall the scripture that says, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. May our heart truly be found with you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all right. We can clap in church. It'd be fine. Nobody will accuse you of nothing. Hey, I want to give you just a couple quick things, and then we'll see us out of here in a word of prayer. For those that are having birthdays, I think it was Emily Wright's birthday is this coming Friday. That's Dawn and Doris's youngest daughter. And then Curtis Smith will have a birthday this coming Saturday. If you're a card sender, text sender, or whatever, handshaker, whatever, just be sure to let them know that you're celebrating with them on their birthday. And then on Monday, Lonnie and Judy Raines will celebrate an anniversary. Probably the silver, 25, right? I'm not asking. I don't ask that question. But before you get a chance to get out of here, let Lonnie and Judy know how much of a blessing it really is that that Lonnie's still with us and Judy hadn't put him under yet, just after being married that long. That's such a blessing, and what a testimony. We love them dearly. Just a couple of quick things to let you know. Keep this on your calendar. Next Sunday, which is on the 12th, Santa Claus will be with our children starting at 9:30. That's our Sunday school time up through 12. He is going to tell them the story of Christmas, the real story of Christmas. But he's going to have a chance to the kids will all have an opportunity to share with Santa what they would like on their Christmas list. And I think they've got some games planned. They got all kinds of things planned. Nancy's the one who's got the details on that. If you are watching or you're in this particular area, this is not just closed to our church. This is open to any of the children, kindergarten through fifth grade. So we'd love to have you come on down for that. That is next Sunday. And if you go to our social media pages, you will see Santa give you a personal greeting to come and be a part. We're looking forward to that next week. Also, don't forget, next Sunday evening is our monthly church conference, which we have moved back simply because on the 19th, which is something else you need to put on your calendar, we have an evening of Christmas music right here, followed by refreshments. So you won't want to miss out on that. So everybody good, all right? Only thing I can think of that hadn't slipped my mind yet, this coming week we do have on Tuesday evening, there is a board meeting. I believe that is at 6 o'clock here at the church. So if you're on our board of directors, 6 o'clock on Tuesday here at the church. If it's any different, we'll be sure to let you know. Okay, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Be sure to take the time as you're on your way out the door today to welcome Shirley to our fellowship, although I know she doesn't really need a welcome. Just tell her we're glad that she's here with us. All right, let's pray. Father, you're again good to us in so many ways. And I just ask, Lord, that as we proceed through this Christmas season, that we will truly ponder the reason why we celebrate the season. But Lord, I'm also asking and praying that our newfound wisdom and knowledge not only be a head knowledge, but yet trickle down to our heart, that it would change our lives, not just for the Christmas season, but forever. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be for your honor, for your glory, and for your kingdom. Thank you for each and every family represented. Lord, for each and every family that will tune in to this broadcast this week. May you bless them in an abundant way that they might truly know you are moving in their life. Go with us as we go from here. Guide, direct us, and keep us safe as we ask this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.